Two FedEx pets falling down, falling down, falling down. Two FedEx pets falling down. Too much vodka.
Oh, vodka.
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 Stairs, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
So here we are on Sunday. No, are we Sunday?
Yes, yeah, we're Easter Sunday. Sunday.
It's Easter Sunday.
We've got a new studio. A temporary. We are standing in my closet.
We are standing in
with
your closet.
With blankets and my jeans and...
I'm kind of liking it in your closet. Number one, I'm not melting under the fluorescent light.
No, it's not too bad, is it?
Nor am I sharing the stage with G's bike and the refrigerator.
My handbags instead.
Yeah. But it's very nice under here.
Mm, thank you.
But we had to change the timing because I had my morning of watching the footy this morning.
Yes, and unfortunately your team was bam-bam. But we're not going to talk about it, are we?
Do you know what I'm a little bit worried about, though, Sarahs, is you haven't had to deal with me in football season before, so you don't know how bad I actually am.
Oh, really? And
yeah, it's
do
not,
I need to start spiking your drink with Xanax or something?
Well, let's just say that for the last quarter of that game, I could not sit down. I paced the floor, and my children slowly started to leave the room as they realised that our team wasn't going to win and that Mummy was going to be a bit scary.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm not good, and it wasn't a good morning.
So now this fits into the topic that we're talking about. Are you the stereotypical footy fan?
Yeah, and I guess I am. I don't get nasty, and I sounded a bit defensive then, didn't I? I don't get nasty.
When we moved to Melbourne, so we're from Sydney. When we moved to Melbourne, first questions were, what football team are you going to follow? Yeah. And we weren't AFL people. We come from rugby league and rugby union.
So did Matt end up choosing an AFL team?
Do you know, we lived in Melbourne for about 3 years and we would have these conversations about what team to follow, but we never actually picked one.
Wow.
See, I've got a big crush on James Brayshaw.
Right.
So he heads up.
Well, lucky you, he's just separated with his wife.
I know. So which team is he on the board for?
North Melbourne.
Yeah, so I wanted to go for them. We follow the Melbourne Storm in the rugby league, so we felt maybe we should stick with the Sydney Swans.
Right, yes. Well, you should.
But then
Sydney
we lived in Williamstown, and that's the Western Bulldogs.
Right, yeah.
But,
They actually had a win on the weekend.
Oh, did they? They never really floated my boat.
Right, well, I am a Port Adelaide supporter through and through. And Port Adelaide supporters are really those supporters that you either love or hate. Do you know, they're very, very passionate.
Yeah.
About their club.
Right.
And you usually
are. I think
that's
a good thing to be.
Yeah.
You're passionate all the time, even when they're on a losing streak, you're always behind them.
Yeah, always behind them. And, you know, we have this never give up.
I think that's good.
Theory. Yeah.
Because Wallaby supporters with the union, if the Wallabies are doing bad, we badmouth them.
Oh.
Yeah, but when they're doing really well, then we're, you know, we've loved them all along.
Do you know, I just realised this, because we were going to talk about stereotypes, and because we had a few things have happened in the last sort of week that have made us start talking about Australian stereotypes and stereotypes in different countries. And that is something that I think a lot of people don't realise, what you've just said about you barrack for the rugby and I barrack for the football, is that Australians, depending on which side of Australia you're on, it can be very different which sport you follow. So I know nothing about rugby at all. So when people talk about the Wallabies and whatever.
That doesn't...
No, and I wish I did, because my sister-in-law is a big sort of Wallabies, you know, rugby person. Her brother was really into rugby.
Yeah.
I think he might have even played for the Wallabies.
Oh.
But I couldn't tell you.
You think maybe he did?
Oh, I think maybe he did. And but I couldn't, you know, I couldn't have a really intelligent conversation about it.
Yeah, and see, when we moved down to Melbourne, I found out that even during the off-season that the footballers would make it onto the front page of the newspaper almost on a daily basis.
Yes, yes.
Like it's a religion.
It is a religion. Yeah. It is. So another religion in Australia, if you were to believe the stereotype of Australians, is cricket, for sure.
Yeah, and in my household and in yours, it is a religion, isn't
it? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a nutter for it. And it really is kind of, for me, it's a bit of a way of life in the summer as well. You always have the cricket on in the background. And I love that the game can go for days, that you just have it on the background and listen
like
to
I'm
the commentary.
Talking to Matt. Oh, yes. It's like you're trying to get me into your cult, and Matt's the cult leader and you're his cult high priestess or something. It's the exact same thing he says to me.
we went away to Sri Lanka a couple of weeks ago and took our American friends came along and they joined the cult with us because they are they're sports fanatics themselves. Yeah. They were up getting up at 5 a.m. to watch Georgetown play the basketball.
Right.
And so they've got the genes there ready to go.
But just not for cricket.
So they watched that amazing cricket. There was a final between New Zealand and South Africa where in the second to last run the Kiwis hit a six and won the game. Yeah. I mean, you cannot get a better game of cricket if you want. And the Kiwis were just fantastic.
Beside themselves,
And they were a little bit hooked and they ended up coming back and watching the final. We were playing cricket out the front and, it was fun. It was really good fun.
Because we were in Dubai when you were in Sri Lanka and when the final was on of Australia playing New Zealand.
Yes.
And we were in a taxi with a Pakistani driver. Now, when Matt meets a Pakistani driver that loves cricket, it's kind of like best friends straight away.
Yeah, me too.
And they were listening to it on the radio and it was half Urdu, the Pakistani Urdu?
Yeah,
Urdu. Apologies if I've said it the wrong way. And half in English, so they could both listen together.
Fantastic.
And I swear to God, I thought we weren't getting out of that taxi.
See, I wouldn't have got out of that taxi. I would have said, let's just
keep going.
Yeah. But can we get a beer? Because it wouldn't be the cricket without a beer.
But even I got a bit into it. I must admit, when I see Matt's passion for it.
So this is what got us onto the stereotypes, because something happened after that game that was quite interesting in Australia.
Yeah.
So Australia won.
Yes.
Against the Kiwis. And the Kiwis had been the hot favourites for the cup. And they had performed gallantly and were great sports people. Yep. Australia is quite famous for its sledging in cricket. So there were two things that happened. Number one was Australia is very famous for its sledging, and one of our great sledgers is, if you can call it that, is Brad Haddin, who's the wicketkeeper. Yeah. And he just, and if anyone's out there going, what is sledging? It's a term in cricket where you just banter continuously. You're just chatting
to the opponent.
Right. And it's very easy in cricket to do because you have two batsmen out in the middle and the field are
so
all
they're just
very
saying
close.
Nasty things to them while they're...
And this is the thing. What do they say and do they cross the line? Because for an example for that is the Indian captain over the test summer in Australia, he's a very popular man. He has 20 million Facebook followers and he's got sort of movie star good looks.
Right.
And his name is Virat Kohli. Yeah. And
I know him.
Right.
I watched him in that test with Rhino.
Yes. And so Virat Kohli has like a cult following in India and he's like a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come and play in Australia, it's very strange for them because it's smaller crowds and you know, they don't have that same hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And when he came out, you could hear the Australian he smirks at them and he winks at them and he revs them up even more. But you could hear the Australian saying, "Oh, Virat, it's all about you, sunshine, isn't it? It's all about you.
Yeah,
you know, look at me.
Yeah.
And it was, I kind of thought it was kind of funny because he would blow kisses at them and wink at them.
He gave as much as he Right, so
got.
He wasn't offended by it.
No, not at
he
all.
He played up to it.
He played up to it.
Right.
And he said after each game, he'd say, "I like to try and stir them up. He'd turn around and blow him a kiss or, you know, just give him a wink.
See,
and
then
whatever.
I think it's okay. If the other person is playing along with it and they find it funny, then go for it. But there's been times where there's been racial sledging, hasn't there? Or maybe in football
hasn't there? To the Australians. It was Andrew Simmons.
I remember that,
So that was one of the things that happened in the game. And then the other thing that happened was after the game with
Warnie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Warnie, who is a retired cricketer, infamous for his womanising, partying.
Yeah. He's now got a bit of Botox. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He's actually not looking too bad, the old Warnie, I think.
Oh, no, I'm not digging
it. You're not digging new Warnie?
No. And when he came to Adelaide over the summer, he was on Tinder picking up chicks. And,
oh, Warnie.
Yeah, Warnie. But Warnie, after the game, went to four or five cricketers and said, "You're going to have a big celebration tonight. I bet you're thirsty. How long is the party going to go for?"
Yeah.
And a lot of people were disappointed that there were children watching.
That was the only questions that he was asking?
He didn't ask very intelligent questions. And
there was articles about he shouldn't be a role model for our children.
No.
Or is it?
No.
But See, he doesn't have any say over my child.
No.
And if Sadie's going to be a drunken idiot, well, I'm not going to blame Shane Warne for
no,
it.
No, no.
But on the other hand, perhaps he should have asked more sports-related questions, like when they've just won the World Cup, massive
yeah.
deal.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
ask more questions about that rather than,
yeah.
you know, but how long are you going to party for?
Yeah, it got me thinking, though, because Shane Warne, in his defence, mm-hmm. was saying, but that's Australian culture and that's who we are and that's what we do. And mm-hmm. it really got me thinking about stereotypes.
Because is that what we do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and I was thinking of the Australians I know that really don't drink. And yeah. when you think about different religious populations that mm-hmm. don't drink at all and what the average Australian looks like and whether Shane Warne is just living in the dark ages mm-hmm. and hasn't... You know, that the Australian
gone with
he
the times
grew up
that,
in
yeah.
is not the Australia now.
Yeah.
At the same time that we were talking about stereotypes, up popped in my feed something about the two cows analogy, which I had seen before
mm-hmm.
because they had this two cows analogy was when they start off and they talk about if you have two cows and you're into socialism, you keep one and you give one to your neighbour. And if mm-hmm. you're into communism, that the state takes the two cows and they just give you some milk.
Yeah.
But if you're into fascism, you have two cows, the state takes both and then it sells you some milk. And
yeah.
it goes through a different sort of
yeah.
political conversations. But then what I had never seen before is they started talking about stereotypes of nationalities and what
right.
happens if you have two cows. So it said if you were an American corporation, you have two cows, you sell one and force the other to produce the milk of four cows. Later, you hire a consultant to analyse why the cow has dropped dead. And then it said the French corporation, you have two cows, you go on strike, you organise a riot and back the roads up because you want three cows. The Italian corporation, you have two cows, but you don't know where they are, so you just decide to go out for lunch. And, you know, the Swiss corporation was, you have 5,000 cows, none of them belong to you, and you charge the owners for storing them. The Chinese cows was, you have two cows, you have 300 people milking them, you claim that you have full employment and high bovine productivity, you arrest the newsman who reported the real situation.
I love the Indian one.
Yeah, the Indian corporation, you have two cows, you worship them.
Oh, the British one. The British one
is, you have two cows, both are mad. The Iraqi corporation was, everyone thinks you have a lot of cows. You tell them you have none, no one believes you, so they bomb the crap out of you and invade your country. You still have no cows, but at least you're now a democracy.
Oh.
Which is a little bit sad,
yes.
isn't it? But the Australian corporation, of course, was you have two cows, business seems pretty good, you close the office and go for a few beers to celebrate. The New Zealand one was you have two cows and the one on the left looks very attractive. And what I loved about that was there was a Kiwi that commented down the bottom and said, that is so not true, we don't find cows attractive, all the sheep would get jealous. As travellers and expats, we either love or hate our stereotype. Canadians have this stereotype of being really nice.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of Canadians are quite happy with that stereotype.
Yeah,
they're quite happy with being nice.
Yeah.
But if it ever gets presented that they're a pushover, well, then that's a different
story. Attitudes change. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think the Australian stereotype is?
I think the tip, and this is what I found from people that I've met that haven't been to Australia to visit, is that they think that we're all a little bit like Alf from Home and Away.
Yeah.
So my lovely friend and nail lady, whenever she comes over to my house, she's always like, g'day, mate.
You were saying
how
that
the flaming
week.
Heck are you, you flaming galah?
And does she realise or not?
Well, I just say, you know that I actually don't talk. I don't think I've ever said g'day in a...
No, you're not a g'day person.
No, I'm not
all.
A g'day.
You don't even
person.
Say g'day properly. You say g'day.
You say it like you yeah, I don't. So I think that typical Australian state is that we're all very bit rough around the edges. We love a good party. We love to drink. Maybe there's not very much refinement or culture about us.
Yeah.
Almost like a bogan element.
Yes.
And for anyone who doesn't know what a bogan is, that's our sort of term for white trash or chav if you're in...
Chav if you're UK, Westie if you're from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do get a little bit offended by that. But then when I have people that say to me, oh, Australians are really laid back, they're really friendly, they're funny,
yeah,
that one I'm happy to take on board.
Yeah. But I think we are a bit bogan. I think you've got to own it a little bit. Like, we are. But look, I think Australians, you can spot an Australian out in the crowd in the way that we probably thrive on, hey, look at us, we're so relaxed, we're so egalitarian, you know, we're not getting hung up about things,
and
we make crass jokes, we swear a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know, so I can see how someone could look at it and go, gee, I mean, I remember when I moved to Canada, I had to change my language completely because I did swear a lot.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't fitting in with the culture there because I did sound uncouth.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I think maybe we just are far more relaxed in Australia.
I think we're definitely a relaxed group of people, definitely.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, now that we're here living in the Middle East, I think Australians probably work a lot harder than maybe some other nationalities do.
You make that stereotype? So you've just made
one. See, I know. Yeah. See, stereotypes have got to exist because there's been enough of that to happen to make a stereotype.
Exactly.
So at some point in time, there has to have been
something that's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think some people still fit into that stereotype and others don't.
Well, what I thought was interesting was I went and had a look at what the average Australian is, because I think we've talked about this before when I read Annabel Crabb's The Wife Drought.
Yep.
You have to read. It's so good. But she talks about what the average Australian is, and it's actually a woman, and she's 38 and she has two kids and she's educated and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought what was interesting about Australia, if you divide us up into a graph, we come from 200 countries.
Yeah.
We speak more than 300 languages.
Wow. And that's huge, isn't it?
And 3% of us are Indigenous.
That number there, that 3%, shocks me. That is really scary.
And then 1/3 of Australians, and this just really blew me away, 1/3 of Australians were born overseas.
Wow. So people that have been born in Lebanon, China, what have you, and they've emigrated to Australia and taken Australian citizenship.
Well, I even have those statistics. So it says that in 1976, more than 80% of this group came from Europe. So when people were immigrating in the 70s, 80% of that group came from Europe, and about half of those people were from Britain.
Wow, which and is I'm guessing where there would have been a lot of Italians and Greeks, because we have a big Italian and Greek population in Australia, don't we?
But you can see where that Anglo-Saxon thing sort of hung around, because half of that 80% were from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in the most recent census, Europe only gives us about 35% of our migrants, with more than 40% of those being born overseas coming from Asia.
Okay.
So it shows that the face of Australia has changed completely.
Yeah. Okay, when you think about a stereotypical Australian, it is that loud, brash, larrikin, if you will. Now, when Australia is exporting themselves overseas, so when we think about throwing a shrimp on the barbie,
we don't even
drink Foster's.
No.
Remember the big Foster's ads? And everyone thinks that we drink Foster's beer. We don't.
We don't, we don't.
Even most recently, Lara Bingle, the Australian model that did her Australian tourism, you know, where the bloody hell are you?
Mm-hmm.
We don't kind of...
No.
Well, I don't talk. It's very... And I think the whole Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee, Steve Irwin.
No.
And so I have a lot of friends who haven't been to Australia and they're scared because of all of our scary animals.
Yes.
Now, I'm sorry. When you go to Sydney, you're not going to see a red-bellied black snake unless you go to the zoo.
Yeah, it's kind of
like... Do you know
what I mean?
Like, you're not going to get off the plane and get eaten by some type of spider.
In the same way, you're not going to go to Canada and get eaten by a bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was thinking about other stereotypes as well. So I put a note out on the Facebook... I put a note out on the 4Kids 22 Cases Facebook
And you had a great
page.
Response, didn't you?
Oh... I just want to say thank you to all the people that did that, because I was talking about it yesterday. We had our Blogging Me meetup, and there was a couple of ladies there who had read it and commented on it, and they were laughing. And we were just saying that all of us had kept going back all day just to see the new ones.
And I know what I loved is that everyone did it from the first person.
Yes.
Not like, oh, a lot of people think that the Polish, it's like, I'm an American, so I must be... And I loved that.
Yeah. And everyone did it with a sense of humour.
Yeah, it was funny.
No one got nasty. So I had kind of kicked it off saying, I'm Australian, so I'm obviously sitting here in my bikini, eating my shrimp on the barbie, drinking my Foster's.
Yeah.
I can't remember what other stereotype I said. And so that kind of started it. Everyone from the States kind of said, you know, I'm from America, so I'm obviously loud and brash and...
Obese
and, racist and whatever.
Gun-loving.
There was the lady... Deborah, she said, I'm black and so I'm obviously African, and then she's put in brackets,
she'd never been.
Never been. Never been to Africa. I'm from the Caribbean. And then she's put in brackets, that must be in Africa, which is third world. So we all live on the beach and or in trees, and we say, Yomon, and we don't have computers or any form of technology.
Hilarious.
She was so funny.
Yeah.
And one of the ladies who said one of the things that we all loved was actually at our lunch yesterday.
Yes.
And that was Anahi, and she said that she was Latino and her husband's British, but she was saying, you know,
she must speak like Gloria from Modern Family. And that she always must say, I caramba.
But she said one of the things she didn't put on there, because she didn't want to offend anyone, because her husband's British, she really wanted to put, yes, and of course I've married the gringo to save me, do you know, to take me away, because she's Venezuelan.
Right, right.
And I think...
Right, to get the passport.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the number of women who were from the Philippines who said the same thing, like they said, you know, I'm Filipina, so obviously I must love karaoke and have five boyfriends. And I mean, it's a thing that, you know, we've talked about this before, about what happens when people come to this side of the world, who are from certain parts of the other side of the world, and how they might often be treated because people make assumptions about them.
Well, there was an article that I read, and it was 55 nation stereotypes, and one of them was the Filipinos are uneducated, and for me, it couldn't be more misconceived.
No.
You know, but that's a stereotype that they have.
Yeah.
Or the Italians are known for their three Ps, pizza, pasta and passionate sex. No, I'm happy to be part of that stereotype. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
one that I'm all right, you know, I'm happy with. But to call all Filipinos uneducated.
Yeah. Or to call all white South Africans racist.
Yeah.
And often these things are said by people who have never been
that's
to South
right.
Africa.
Yeah.
One of the ones was from Monique, and she said about being Dutch, and she said, I'm Dutch, and no, Holland is not the capital of Denmark, nor do we still walk on clogs, put a thumb in the dike to prevent floodings, or kill elderly people in nursing homes or hospitals because they're of no use to society anymore.
See, I didn't even know that was a stereotype.
Yeah, that did happen.
Oh, okay.
It said we don't bring our potatoes when we go on holiday abroad, and neither of us do drugs, because there's that whole Amsterdam thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
Everyone decides that you must be a druggie if you anywhere near Amsterdam.
Yeah.
There were a few people, weren't there, that were from who were Dutch, who wanted to point out that they weren't from Denmark.
Yeah, and see, I think it's the whole Dutch-Danish thing. I think people just get a little bit confused with the two words.
There was the girl, too, who was the Cajun woman from Louisiana, who said, obviously, I have no teeth and all of my family look like they've come from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to talk about the stereotype of the French and Saunders skit.
Yeah, now there's a really, I'm sure everyone knows French and Saunders, and they have done a really funny skit about expat ladies.
Yeah.
And it was that typical, that stereotypical Middle Eastern English expat woman compared to the old school English expat woman that's been living in India and Indonesia, where I think the stereotype is that they're more refined, you know, they're a little bit older, they've got the house full of staff, whereas maybe the expat woman in the Middle East, she's a bit more brash, she's got the fake tan, she's got the jewels, you know, a little bit bolder, brusher, what have you, and it is hilarious to watch, and we'll put it in the show notes.
It's been doing the rounds for about 10 years.
Yeah, it's an old sketch here, but it always does make me laugh because I actually, I think it was Dawn that played the Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
I know that expat.
But I didn't think I thought they were both awful, like both characters just revolting. Yeah. But I also thought I don't know anyone like that anymore, but I also don't go to any of those things where I'm going to meet those people.
In Abu Dhabi, I met quite a few of those older ladies that were that typical Middle Eastern expat woman, and that's just what makes me laugh. And so that's what I'm saying. There has to be those people exist to make that stereotype happen.
Absolutely.
But then you and I talk about that we're not the stereotypical
In that clip, one of those women cannot get off of her chair to get a drink because she's plastered but also lazy. She just can't even be bothered pouring someone a drink. And I think that, yes, probably, and it goes back to, you know, what we talked about with The Guardian deciding that they were going to paint the picture of the, you know, the expat family outside in their colonial garden, all white, wearing white. You know, that just doesn't exist in my world at all.
No, absolutely. I think people that maybe haven't experienced this type of life would look at that and go, that's typical.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah.
While we stand in my wardrobe recording this podcast.
Okay, so your Instagram, you've been following a Qatari guy.
Yeah, this Qatari guy, and I need to pronounce it. It's at Zoza Lajail. Zoza Lajail.
Yeah.
And I've been following him for a couple of years now. He's a Qatari guy based here in Doha, but he travels everywhere.
So where's he been?
Oh, like he goes to London, America, Europe, Bali, Indonesia. Like he literally goes everywhere. And I don't know if it's for work or he's just one of those lucky guys that has unlimited funds and can just travel when he wants.
And does he take photos of himself or just
very rarely? There are a few selfies because he takes a lot of photos of the food that he eats in restaurants, and I think, man, this guy must be huge because he eats, you know, like really lovely, rich, fattening food.
Yeah.
But his selfies, he's very chiseled and very attractive, and but he doesn't put a lot of selfies, and he doesn't put a lot of images of the places that he's at. So if he goes to London, he's not putting a photo up of the London Eye or the London Bridge. It's about the food, and he goes to some top restaurants, like, you know, the restaurants that we've
dream about.
Yeah, you know, like if he goes to high tea at the Grosvenor Hotel in London or whatever. But then he also goes to other eateries, and when he comes back to Doha, he'll go to like the little cafes and sort of off the. And I love his photos.
I heard a little rumor that Nobu is actually having a little soft opening in the next week.
Have we been invited?
No, but I bet you he has.
Yeah. Might ask him if he needs a date. But yeah, and we've conversed a little bit back and forth on Instagram.
Have you?
Yeah, because I just love his photos.
Yeah,
and I love that when he's here in Qatar, he puts his thobe on and but then when he goes away, he's he kind of lives two.
So what's he wearing when he's away? Just your everyday?
Yeah, just the everyday. Like, but it's designer.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him what he does.
Yeah.
I'm going to make contact again because we've had a couple of chats back and forth. He's been to some places that I've eaten at, and I'm like, oh, I miss that.
Oh wow.
Or, you know, like if he was at Jones the Grocer here in Doha, and he was the one that let me know that their corn fritters were back on the menu. So I was like, oh, great, thanks. So I'm going to make contact with him and just ask him what he does.
Podcast that you're after as well?
Yes. Now, I think everyone knows that you and I have been obsessed with Serial.
Yes.
I can't wait for season two to come back. I'm desperate for it. Another podcast that I found that if you're a fan of Serial, then you really will like this. It's called Criminal.
Right.
So it's true crime stories, but they're a different story each episode.
Right.
But it's not the whodunit type story, you know.
Yeah.
So-and-so was murdered and this is the person that did it. And it's very complex and who's been done wrong and why did they get caught, and really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And one of my favourite episodes is called Call Your Mum.
Right.
And it talks about how a lot of people don't tell their mum everything, that and they keep a lot of dark, dirty stories to themselves unless you and your mum are in the business of death.
Oh.
So I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh.
Just listen to it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, the one that I had was called Sketch She, and which probably won't mean anything to anyone, but I bet you a lot of people have actually seen the clip.
It's done the rounds, hasn't it?
It really has done the rounds, and it's the three girls in the car, and they do the kind of medley of different songs, things. The first one I saw that they did, I wasn't really into because there was a lot of boob grabbing, and I didn't I didn't really get why we needed to do the boob grabbing. Yeah. Just like I never really understood why Michael Jackson had to do the crotch grabbing.
Right,
it just wasn't my scene. But the last one they did, I thought was absolutely
fantastic. And I didn't realise until they started handing out the money that they're Australian. And I saw that, the lobster, the $20 note come out. I was like, oh, they're Australian.
So go and have a look for it. Look under Sketch She.
And we'll put the link in the show notes. Yeah.
Also, the lovely Miss Shardy. I don't know if you read her blog during the week, but it was very sad.
Yeah.
So we'd talked about Miss Shardy before, and you know that she lives in the outback.
It's a really small world because she and I have a mutual friend. She had some sad news during the week.
Well, they lost their head stockman in a sort of freak sort of accident. And it was just, she wrote like just very briefly about it and how she wouldn't be around for a little while because she was really feeling quite, you know, shaken by it all. And she showed some beautiful photos of him, and he really was a gorgeous young man.
You could actually see it in his face, couldn't you? He was a good man.
You could. But, I just wanted to say, Miss Shardy, we're thinking of you
and we're sending our love, and also we're sending our love to Mick's family.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was just incredibly sad. But I also wanted to say thank you to a few people who have left gorgeous reviews, and I wish I had your name, but someone
that they're just me and I just come under
<stuff. laughs> So someone has reviewed under the name Wine and C, and they have said, girls, yours is the best podcast I've listened to, which I thought was so sweet.
I hope she's listened to more than just ours. Thank you.
And I also wanted to say thank you to a really lovely lady called Kylie Bevan, who has left a really kind review.
Yeah.
But also Kylie runs her own little expat business as well called Health Wellness Revolution. Mm-hmm. And we might actually put it in the show
notes,
we'll
put that
in
the show notes.
So we'll pop a link in there
Thank you, Kylie.
But Kylie is a health and relocation coach. And she's
needed her when I moved house.
Yes. And she's done a lot of major and minor moves, and this doesn't sound like she's going home anytime soon. So she's been making her way through our podcast, but I think she's got, I went and had a look at her website, and she's got great tips for expats around the world.
I will definitely put her link in the show notes.
Yeah. And I wanted to say thank you to AJ Waterman, who said, I've just found you too. The voyeur in me loves this podcast. I started listening on my way back over the Blue Mountains on Friday, and I'm making honey joys in my kitchen in Orange today with you. Keep it up. I think we would be besties, and I think we would be besties too.
Absolutely.
Because, I had a girlfriend who went to Orange Ag, and I know exactly all about Orange and where it is.
Yeah.
And I think I could quite happily be in your kitchen with your honey joys.
Yeah, and I make a good honey joy. Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you to the people who have left reviews.
And can I just give a quick shout out to someone?
Oh.
My best friend, Lisa, who is not on Facebook, not on Insta, is all anti-social media. I don't even tell her what we do because I didn't think it would actually make sense to her.
Right.
She called me the other day with some very exciting news and left it with, I listen to your podcast all the time and I love it.
Aww.
So, Lisa, I love you very much. And I didn't even tell her we were doing this because I didn't think she would get it or understand. But she listens to us.
Yeah, we love doing the podcast, don't we?
It's our favourite thing.
It is our favourite thing. Now, we've been sneaky this week and we did two.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Cez? Are we just sticking to one a week?
I'm happy to do two a week. I think maybe we should maybe put it out there. What do you guys think? Because my opinion is I don't want overkill. I don't want you guys to get sick of us.
Yeah.
But if you're loving us and you'd love to hear us twice a week, or if you want us to maybe do a different format.
Yeah.
So stick with what we're doing now, but maybe the second episode of that week is a different format.
Like even if we interviewed someone or, you know, someone in the expat world and asked them about what it's like to live there or did something like that.
Yeah. But if you would love to let us like to let us know, that would be really good.
Let us know. So you can let us know by either leaving a review, leave something in the notes, or you can go
leave
to
a comment on our Facebook page or on our website.
Twofatexpats.com. Yep.
And then you can just Facebook Two Fat Expats.
Yes.
And there we are.
So it says, we haven't really said, we talked a lot about stereotypes and whatever. So what's your conclusion on this? Because my conclusion is that maybe you should take stereotypes for what they are, which is they're worth nothing, really.
I agree. I think, look, one, I think, as I've said, stereotypes exist because something must have happened to make that stereotype come
about. But it may have happened,
but it might have happened 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, as I was saying to you before, I love Bali. Bali to me is one of my favourite places to visit. And when I have people say to me, oh, it's just full of drunk Aussies, I get a little bit defensive because that's not my Bali.
But you do, and so yes, you mean to say you go to parts of Bali where you don't see
that. Yeah, and I'm not going to not go somewhere because I'm not going to go to Texas because I think everyone's got big hair and they're gun-loving. I'm not going to not visit there because of that stereotype.
Because it's definitely not the case.
I'm not going to not go to France because I think everyone's arrogant.
Because it's definitely not the case.
Because that's not the case. So I think value everyone on a, you know, an individual basis.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just because we're Australian doesn't mean that we are the larrikin, drinking, partying. I mean,
my face is contorting while you're saying it because I'm thinking,
we are secretly.
Tick. Tick.
But, you know, but we're not.
Yeah, definitely.
We're not necessarily loud, brash and racist.
No. God, no. Yeah.
But we do like a drink.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we might dance on tables maybe sometimes.
Maybe I've done that.
But then other times we're very good at behaving ourselves.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. So, yeah, I think don't just, when you meet someone, when you go somewhere, judge it for what it is for you.
Yeah.
And don't not do something because someone said to you, oh, don't go there because they're like this.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, says.
Does that make sense?
Oh, kind
I felt
of.
Like I was. Does everyone know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. You've got me by now.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll be back next week.
Next week.
And thanks again for popping in.
See you later.
Bye.